Hello, you're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast that's happening in your ears right now. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. You might know me for my column, Am I the Bullus, over on EDHREC.com. That's right, we moved from CommandersHerald.com to EDHREC. CommandersHerald.com is still going strong. CH is focusing more on satire in the magic world, and so we moved a lot of our writers over to EDHREC, and that's where you can find my column now. And that's pretty exciting because, you know, I obviously it's pretty cool to be a writer for EDHREC after being a fan of the site and the podcast, EDHREC cast, for so long. So that's pretty cool. So make sure to go check out my new articles on EDHREC.com. But don't forget, you can still dive into the archives over at Commander's Herald by searching for my name and Am I the Bullus. So yeah, enjoy that if you haven't checked that out yet. But more importantly, you're listening to the podcast and I'm alone today. Normally my co-host Morgan joins me, and today she is on vacation and I don't want her to work. So I want her to get to relax, and I want, like, that's the thing. You finally take time away, it's yours to go. I'm not gonna, please. If we're ever in a situation where we have to work on something and you've got a day off coming up and you're like, I guess I could do it on my day off. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. That's a day off for yourself. Take care of yourself. Take advantage of those moments in your life, because my God, are there fewer and fewer. Folks, what a nightmarescape we're enduring right now. So when you can get yourself some little joy and escape, please take the time to do it. Morgan Sanchez, you're a sweet baby angel. You deserve a little bit more relaxy time. Friggin' hope you're napping a bunch. Hope you're eating good. Love you, buddy. Check out Indigo Gentleman on Blue Sky. And yeah, so Morgan, shout out to Morgan, co-host extraordinaire. Love you to bits, buddy. But it's a solo podcast for Mikey. And today's guest and I, and again, this keeps happening in the podcast. We might have to just switch up the format because I keep tilting the hand when it comes to the guests and the calls and stuff, but it's a little interesting, to say the least. It's an odd episode, and I'll tell you what that means in just a second. Before I do, I have to let you know that we are sponsored by Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here, baby. Tarkir Dragonstorm is ready to go. If you're like me and you're looking for a bunch of singles from the new set, you're probably going to want to hit that immediately. Here's the thing about Tarkir Dragonstorm and most standard sets of late. There are some uncommons that are difficult to get your hands on, and I found a few that I like on Cardsphere.com. Smash that 4X button. Let me get those copies as soon as I can. Hardened Tactician, one of my favorite new cards. 3-mana card that lets you pay one and sacrifice a token to draw a card. Excuse me. It's no Forensic Gadget tier, but it does fit in the Taste Opulent Oligarch deck I've got, and I love it. So go on to Cardsphere.com. We have a referral link in the description of the episode. If you haven't already joined Cardsphere, trust me, it'll change the way you get your cards. It's so good. I don't have like a promo code or anything. It's just a referral link, so really go digging in our description. That said, Morgan isn't here, so the resident Cardsphere user, the one that uses it every week all the time, doesn't have a story to share today. And I haven't received my tacticians yet, but I am waiting. So on to the episode. This episode is a little on the strange side because not only am I alone on the bookend, but our guest and I just kind of hung out. I thought that at some point we would get to a Bullus question. I thought at some point we would have a story where he was the villain or like talk about a pet peeve, but the whole discussion was basically a bunch of pet peeves surrounding the art and the appreciation of said art in Magic. And so is it really in tune with the format of the show? I can't really tell you, but what I can say is this: it's a hell of a chat, but it's heavily visual. So this is maybe an episode where I recommend, if you are on your train ride to work, take your phone out and get Scryfall open, because we're going to mention a bunch of cards and their art, and you're going to want to see it. If you have encyclopedic knowledge of the game and, you know, you could picture the cards, that's awesome for you. But I will say that this episode goes better with a Scryfall tab open. There's a lot of underappreciated cards getting mentioned and getting a lot of love from our guest and myself. And I have to say, I'm pretty thrilled with it. If this were an episode that we did on a stream, we would be one of, you know, whoever controls the images on screen, probably me or Morgan, would be sweating by the end of it. We'll mention card after card, just like, boom, this one. What about this one? A bunch of Magic artists getting mentioned. And it's, if anything, this episode is more of a love letter to the thing that that really brought me into the game in a big way, and a thing that a lot of folks in Magic really appreciate and like, they show their identity within the game through the art of the game. It's not just mechanically, but of course the identity of the game is sewn into every brushstroke. Every card is accompanied by an image that is made by somebody, and it's beautiful. You're listening to a podcast about Magic the Gathering. You're already entrenched. You're invested. You know what you're talking about. You know what you like to hear. You know why you play Magic. But it should be noted for sure that a lot of what the game has to offer is a visual identity. The beauty of Magic comes from the vibrancy of the cards, or like the intricacies of the portraiture, just the idea that every artist that they've chosen brings themselves to the card and to the work and in their own way. And it's so sick. Like, we don't get to talk about more recent cards like Evan Fong's Codice the Fang Keeper, an achievement, frankly, just such a beautiful piece of art. Get into Magic's art. Like, I think the call to action here is, if you've got bulk bins, go digging. Pick out a couple cards that you just happen to have and really look at them. There's a sensory element to just holding it and trying to squint at the details and see, investigate how it makes you feel. It's a beautiful thing, really. Our guest today is Vorthos Mike, a wildcat. This guy talks a mile a minute, always referencing known associates. Such a fun person. Love chatting with him. And I love his affinity for all things art and Magic. Please make sure to follow him online. Make sure you check out his auctions. Anytime he posts a little thread about some artist's work, or, you know, kind of referring to some artist or being like, you guys should check out this artist, they have only a couple pieces, promoting them in like whatever city they're going to for whatever con or something. Always on top of it. Very sweet guy, and just so like controlled and yet oddly still chaotic. Talks about, he showed me a little bit of his hallway with the pieces of art and what he's got up there, all these original sketches. And he talks about having the art for the commander he has, and the appreciation for an aspect of Magic that we kind of also take a little for granted when we're just like slamming down a piece of cardboard, where the iconography is only necessary for recognizing the card as shorthand. But instead, you want to pick it up and go, this is gorgeous. I can't believe I get to have this. I've been talking enough. Let's get into the call. So if we have the phone... Oh, is that the... I don't know. Ken's going to edit it in. Let's have a chat with Vorthos Mike. We'll catch you back on the other end. It's just going to be me again. And go. Caller on the line. Who am I talking to? Who we got here?
This is Vorthos Mike from Minneapolis. I'm a northern state next to y'all Canadians. I got a couple of things on my chest I got to get off, and I'm wondering if you're into it.
Of course I'm into it. Vorthos Mike, so happy to have you on the show, all the way from a fellow snowy city. I'll tell you what, Montreal to Minneapolis, we know what's up. Similar vibes. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's cold like Minnesota. I got snow on the ground. Uh-huh. My wiener dog's getting cold bellies.
Yep, yep.
Walking outside in it.
Yep.
And
we just had the first snow.
We got to be here. We got to talk about a few things.
Let's get it.
I got some questions of am I the bolus here? Am I the bull cast? And I think I am.
All right. Are you the bolus on Am I the Bull cast? Let's dive in right away. Let's do it. Hit me with what you want.
We need to talk about the number one question.
Number
one. I'm the art guy, right?
The art
guy. I'm Orthos Mike. I do the art shows. I do art things. I'm just synonymous with the Mick art. Everybody knows this.
Yes.
And I got beef with, everybody says all the art looks the same.
Wait, what?
All the art looks the same. Magic the Gathering, all the art looks the same. And I'm here to yell to be like, no, it's not. You're just bad at looking at art.
Okay, tell me.
And I don't want to yell at people that they're new. And I'm like, you're just not looking at the art. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, okay, hold on a second. I got to hear about these people. Who are you interacting that's looking at the art and saying it looks the same?
Listen, I'm on Reddit. With those mutants.
For better or for worse.
And and they're just like, oh, this art looks the same. It's all digital. I'm like, listen, you Muppet. They had digital in beta. What are you talking about?
Right? We've had digital art for a long time.
No, whole time.
Yeah.
Circle of Protection Black. Digital. The Second Island. Digital.
Really?
From the start. Yeah.
Cop Black OG. Is digital?
It is. It's digital.
Get out of here. I got to take a look at this. I had no idea. No, wait. Oh, that does make sense. The OG
You're Cop the one Black. Yelling. Out of control.
I am.
So, from the start, everyone's like, everything looks the same. And I'm like, does it all look the same? Or are you just bad at looking at art?
Okay.
And I think it's the latter, but it's hard for me to, you know, yell at people on the internet nonstop to be like, listen, if you think the secret layers look like the base set, that look like the weird expansion-y sets, the Fallout sets to the Lord of the, you're just not looking at the commons anymore. And that's okay. You're just doing your TCG player. Give me the top four rares. I'm going to impact whatever. I'm going to make a modern deck. I'm going to make a commander deck and I only update my four cards, but you're not looking at the sets anymore.
Oh, now we're talking.
I'm the bad guy for calling people out to be like, listen, you're a dum-dum and you're not looking at the art. It doesn't all look the same. It just doesn't. But
I
think
it
does because you're not looking.
I can't get over you positing a world where people keep coming to you like the art looks the same. Because I can't fathom a person doing that, even at the rare level. If we're talking even just, do you want to talk... Is there a particular set that really like feels like we can do this discussion in a little bit easier?
I think we're going to go in the immediacy. I think we want to talk about
Foundations
and now. No, past that. Foundations are already old.
Okay,
Magic has happened every 15 minutes.
Okay,
I'm talking about Pioneer Masters.
Oh my God. Okay, let's.
Pioneer Masters, and I'm looking at these artworks, and they're not only having some of the OG really phenomenal artworks, but they're also having replacement artworks, and those ones are good too. So, for example,
hit me.
An artist gets into some shenanigans.
Which
shenanigans of
which
choice
has happened? We've had a couple of artists who've had shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their art just gets quietly replaced in Pioneer Masters. And everyone's like, ha ha, new art. That's great. But it's like, no, you guys don't understand. The next time they reprint this card, they're not going to use the OG, they're going to use this replacement art.
Which, to be fair,
that's what they're going to do.
Fair.
And it's largely digital because you got to make a quick change, right? Got to make it quick, bang, bang, bang. Oil paint takes a while to paint.
Does.
We're going to use a digital and we're going to swap those out. And there's a couple of people who they are. We know who those artists are. We're going to,
right.
Beat them over the head. We don't need to, harangue on it. You're Canadian. You're friendly.
Yeah. Try to be.
You know? So I'm looking at these pieces and I'm like, ha, another one got replaced.
Yeah.
Another one got replaced. But I like that. I like having more options.
And I agree.
Instead of it's all looks the same. And I'm like, listen, if some of it does look the same, that's fine. If some of it all looks like watercolor and Lorwyn, because we're going back to Lorwyn in a minute, that's
very
okay too.
Excited.
But I want to have more options for every card. If I had every option I have in a deck that have like three different picks, that'd be sick. That'd be fantastic. I would love to have that personalization, that differences, whatever that may be, that flavor, that profile. Hell, I use gold border cards because I'm a sicko, right?
That is sicko.
And I don't play with cops. I don't play with cops, so they're totally cool with it. But I like that gold border. I play gold border planes for the flavor, baby.
I can get behind the gold border planes all day. Oh, man.
I love it.
I
love playing.
Do you want to?
I love it. That's my jams. But like that.
I have a hot take related to this. I'll say this.
Okay, hit me hot. Go ahead.
Basic lands, not full art. Make them gold bordered. Hit me with gold bordered basics.
Dude, no matter what. If you showing up in a MadraCon and you're looking at Brian Kibler with his fancy long hair and you're like, dude, Kibler, would you sign my gold border? He's going to look at you and be like, he's going to give you the nod.
Yeah, buddy.
He's not even going to be like, ah, these are cool. He'll be like,
he'll get
you're
it.
A real one.
He knows what's up.
I respect you. You want to play my version of the art that I used mm-hmm. when I was playing World? Okay, I see you.
Yeah, buddy.
Good for you.
Yeah,
you're
buddy.
A cool guy.
You want the stamp signature already on there, or you want me to do a new one?
I wanted stamp signature on the right side, and then I want a real signature exactly. on the left right next to it. Like, double. It's like the people that get the Chris Rush, Richard Garfield, Bam Bam, doubles.
Yes.
But instead, it's just Kibler young, Kibler old.
Give it. That's what's up.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to do. And I want to have that. And everyone's like, whoop. And I'm like, dude, we're playing Commander. Who cares?
Yeah.
Very Olivia. Thank be you. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
But it looks cool. It has that variety. And I think that's the whole thing right
the
now. Instead of having new art every time, which is expensive, oh, we're going to do different border. Old school. Extended border, whatever. I'm like, those are fine. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I want different artworks that are like watercolor, super digital.
Yeah.
Oil painting. So it has these very different feels. And I think Secret Lair has played a lot of that role, and I like that.
Mm.
But I want more of that all the time. I want every choice I have to have personalization options. I think that's phenomenal where you have to pick every single time, which also saves you shmoney.
Yeah,
you can choose
time.
The cheapest one if you want.
Yeah, if you want.
But if you want that flavor and you don't want to play white border because those are gross, you have your own ones you can do.
The white borders are gross. What a statement.
They're gross. They get the dirt under the fingernails.
I mean,
edge of it. It's dirty. Ugh, it looks like a dirty like mat to a painting.
I mean,
where it's all like off white. I'm like,
sometimes I'm not mad at it. Sometimes if it's a card that's got a history that I'm not mad at it. I have a Swords to Plowshares from when I was a kid that I somehow still kept around. That's seen some days, and I'm not getting rid of it. You know, never sleeving it either. That's a card going through the world.
I do like that idea.
Uh-huh.
However, if I'm looking at Swords of Plowshares
uh-huh.
and I'm not picking Sam Wolf Connolly, undefeated sword, just like phasing into that dude with the hoe, it's incredible.
We talking about the
like,
one that
I
came out
choose
in
the best art.
The one that came out in Commander Legends? Is that the one?
No, way before that.
Oh,
way
that's right. That was the...
That was the online
printing.
Promo.
That's right.
It was the F&M promo.
That's right.
That was in years ago.
My God.
Back when I had a mustache.
Judge's gift like, from 2013, it says here.
That's what I'm saying. But even then, if so, the publisher, you know I'm going to play gold border. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. They got I mean, if you got it, you got it. You got to go for the gold border. You're in that.
You
gotta
go
love
gold
it.
Obviously, you can't do that in like normal tournaments, but I think that's going to be a big change. I think that's my called shot of how will Magic change in the next few years. I think the World Championship decks are going to be accepted by the greater community because you don't have sleeves that are see-through anymore.
Right.
Back in the day, you did. I think those are going to come into like acceptance. It's just going to be a couple of years of this Commander, new committee, new world
right.
order.
I will say,
gets into it.
Even some like, look at this sleeve right now up to camera. You can't see
yep.
anything through that.
No.
You can't
no.
tell me nothing. Yeah. Put a
no.
gold border back there. You don't even see a shadow.
I love the idea. Everything for like the Magic 30th edition, obviously there were the issues there, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
That's a separate Eye of the Bullcast, real talk. But I think the whole concept is strong. It's just that the price point was wrong.
Oh, absolutely. That was a mess. That was a whole
deal. Like, if you change that price point.
Yep. Maybe it's interesting.
No, I think it's entirely interesting.
Right.
I think you make that price point $40. More than Commander Booster, $50.
Sure.
Do people buy it?
But they buy it more than whatever it ended up being. I didn't even pay attention. What was
I think
it, 250?
I think the entire backlash is like, I understand. It needs to be special.
I forget what that was. What was it? Like $400 for three packs? I can't even remember exactly.
It was a lot.
I tuned it out. I sincerely was. I was so enamored by the fact that they thought that this was like a great idea, and then.
But you see, they is the problem.
Right.
I don't think it's a they. I think it is. There were people that are like, listen, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, because uh-huh. if you want to play old school and you had this kind of integrated in your local play group, that's great. I love that idea.
Oh, a cube. Are
I'm
you kidding me?
Favor.
I would love a cube. Yeah, for sure. You think I want to have a literal counterfeit? I have a counterfeit Black Lotus here because one day I thought maybe I'll have a cube to put together. there's no, I don't want to, you know, I don't want this to be the thing I have.
See, I don't even do that. If I want to have something that's like that, I just call up one of the known associates that make the proxy. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to make a counterfeit. I'm going to make it with different art.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make it with a different border. I mean, it's the same art.
The counterfeits from like 12 years ago when I was coming back to Magic thinking this is fine. Then
like I'm thinking like, give me that Steve Belladin vintage championship Black Lotus. Oh. Undefeated. Oh. Like I got him to paint me one on a gold bordered blank, you know, because the world championships had blanks. I had him paint me one that is his Black Lotus in a blank. It's violent. It's violently good. Oh. Like that's the type of thing I want because it helps reinforce vintage, but it has to be coordinated messages.
I mean,
and the problem is the price point at some point is too high. $200 too high.
Yeah.
$30 too low.
Right.
Where do you place that? And I think they just placed it a little too high. That's the only mistake. But the mistake of like making this thing, I'm actually like, oh, that's fine. That's cool.
No, it's
and I think for cubers, they want that or that 94, 93, whatever. You get a little more stock.
Sure.
But they're different. They're not as cool.
No.
They're not as cool.
They're not. But you're not going to get that cool. It's not going to be possible to get that cool.
No, that's fine.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that.
So am I.
I totally want to see that happen where there's more supply of it so people can play this weird.
Agreed.
Bad corset draft, I guess.
I mean, it is one of the, it's, you know, it gets a 10 out of 10 for being the first set, but really it wasn't a draft set. It wasn't meant to be. And it's so apparent when you start opening packs and deciding what you're going to pick for a draft. It's so bad.
For real. Like, you start to realize that, like, oh, Illusionary Forces is bad. And you're like, listen, you play one blue mana a turn and you have a 4-1 flyer. You're probably going to win with that.
That's
unless
amazing.
They get Giant Spider, you know, undefeated with Mouse, Giant Growth. Get him, Giant Mouse. Like, otherwise, you won't get him because 4 damage in the air kills you quickly.
4 damage in the air is 5 turn clock, my friend. You think you got enough to withstand 5 slams? I don't think so.
Listen, some of us have played Chandelari, feel me? Uh-huh. Like, we know how it is. I'm putting that invisibility on that Juggernaut. Dude, I'm going to win here. Listen.
This is an episode, if it hasn't been apparent enough, this is an episode for the old schoolers, I'll tell you what.
Listen.
We're talking about specific...
But I like that idea, because...
We're talking specific printings of Black Lotus. You're picking... To be fair, you are picking the credit to the original, obviously, but if I had to pick my favorite Black Lotus art, it is exactly the Vintage Championship Black Lotus by Steve Belladin, 100%.
Stevie B, undefeated. Like, don't get me wrong, I like Chris Ron. And yeah, I like Raul Vitale's one. It's good. But Stevie B's one is like,
I mean,
that's really good.
Yes.
It's real good.
Yeah. I mean,
and I want to figure out how do you do that going forward, right? Because the game is old enough.
Right.
We're probably going to be playing in retirement homes. Mm. We're probably going to be playing draft and queue.
Hopefully.
In retirement homes. Like, legitimately, like, we're not going to play bridge. Like, what do I care? Like, I'm going to be playing cube booster draft, cube rotisserie with me, my buddy Murray, and then my other buddy Murray.
Yeah, buddy. Know? I want to die of a heart attack because somebody passed me a time walk and I couldn't believe it.
Listen, pack rat? What are we doing?
Like, unbelievable.
What did you pick? I want to be yelling at my buddy Cody because obviously it's going to be
a Cody.
Like, that's what I want. But I think that's very near in our future. And I don't think the gold border set is part of it. But I think it has a role.
It definitely eases the tension.
I think the 30th anniversary tried to set that. And it just didn't quite get the knobs quite right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it eventually will, where it's like you can buy Vintage Cube. Dude. And you can play that with your buddies, almost like a
straight
standalone
up
game, Vintage Cube with your buddies. I think that's in our future, and I look forward to that.
Are you
for
kidding
some
me
of us old heads?
Oh, if they put out a Vintage Cube product just as is, and they say, here it is, it's going to be pricey, but this is Vintage Cube. Guess what? It's all in there. Just go buy your own sleeves because we're not going to do that for you. But the whole thing, here it is. It comes in this box.
It's not tournament legal.
None of
it. You can't play in tournaments.
Can't do it.
You can't play in Vintage Championship.
It is here.
But like, you want to play the Vintage Cube?
There
we
go.
This is the year, and you have like a whole year to do it. So it has like unlimited supply.
Yep.
And you just know.
And then it's Oh, you got to hear. First in line. If I, you know, let's be real. I'm not going to be there first in line. I'm going to be there as soon as I can get there. But because there's a lot of people out there that would want this.
Like, you're going to be in line in your tent. You got your extra supply of, you know, maple syrup inside your tent.
This is something I would, yeah, I don't want to go thirsty. You got to have the syrup. I will say this is something I would consider camping out for. Nothing in my life. I don't do that kind of stuff. It's not my thing. I'm not going to be the camp out guy. Never have been. Never considered it for a thing. If somebody was like, vintage cube is going on sale, limited supply at this location near you, I'm camping.
Even if it's not even limited supply, because you know, even when they say it's not, it's limited supply.
They give you a bit of a win.
It is limited supply.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, the allocations will never be enough. Because there's so many of us old heads that have the means that are above the age of 40. Don't get me wrong. And they're like, listen, I want a cube in my retirement home.
100%.
And you're like, that's weird. And you're like, it's really not. Because we're living so much longer than we used to. Nobody's dying at 60 anymore. Like, I'm going to be playing cube with a bunch of old heads.
Or a blank cube.
It's like, hey, do you guys want to play Heroes of Might and Magic 3? And I'm like, I'm not that old. But I'm going to play cube on Tuesday.
It's cube and Tuesday.
It's going to be a new thing. And I don't know if it needs to be in like certain cities like Seattle or like major population heads. But that is in the very real future of how do we accommodate for not just teenagers, not just adults, but like senior citizens that want to buy a singular product to encapsulate a time of like, I want to buy a booster box of Innistrad so I can draft Innistrad, but not that stupid.
Not.
Hexproof unblockable guy with the cleaver. I don't like that combo. I'm not a fan of that. But can you get it so the distribution is right that I can do Innistrad cube again or Cons of Tarkir so I can relive that experience? I think that is very close to where we're at, and they just go border them or whatever. And then you get to draft again the thing from the past. And I think these Innistrad remastered sets, that's kind of the closest thing to that.
That's the closest thing that they can do without it being a complete crapshoot in terms of legality too, because technically speaking, there are tournaments, there are, you know, there's stuff in there that's going to be valuable. And the moment you slap a different border on there, like a like a gold or silver, it's immediately people don't want the hassle of dealing with that at their LGS, you know?
No, they don't. Or like the little Planeswalker logo or whatever. Right. I think the Innistrad remastered, I think, was the goal.
I mean, the
gold standard. And they did these couple testy tests before of a weird new double feature, we're going to do Ravnica. Can we do Innistrad right? And I'm super hyped about it because we need more supply.
Absolutely.
And listen,
a lot
let
of
me
the
do
stuff
Liliana with the old border.
Yeah.
Looks like it's 1994. It's weird. But for people that can afford it, it's great. And then it drops the prices all the rest of them for all the non-associates. So you can get in, you know, on the ground floor. And it's inexpensive. Obviously, it kills collection prices. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, look, you're catching me in the middle. Like, I don't know how much of this you can see, but I've got my sorting tray here. I'm really going through things and...
let's go.
Gotta get rid of a lot of it because I'm, you know, it's just sitting in
boxes.
You
just have too much of it. I have a lot of it, but like, I don't try to go out of my way. Like, I like to crack a box every now and then, but I'm an art guy, right? So
that's it.
For me, it's.
I want to talk more about
that. Okay. Well, I collect a lot of art.
Yes.
Paintings are things just that move me that I need to show in an art show, right? So I do art shows. I usually do like one or two a year. And artworks I collect, like final paintings, tend to be things that I will find a hard time borrowing from somebody. So it's like, okay, I want the iconics, right? The iconics from Iconic Masters, like Dragon, Hydra, Angel, Sphinx. Like, I want to have a set of those so I can always have those for an art show. Fine. I want to have badass women. Okay, that's a thing.
Yes.
I want to have some commanders. That's a thing.
Yeah.
But where I'm at now, since art has like skyrocketed so much, paintings I choose really are to fill a gap of something I need filled in like an art show. And then sketches are an area where I fill out fun parts of the collection. Okay. So when I build a commander deck, I often will look at an artist and say, hey, do you have an original sketch? You know, and then I have the sketch for that. And then I can build the deck for that.
That's awesome.
And then I get to put that on the wall. And it allows me to interact with it to be like, I got that deck. Let's go.
That's awesome.
And then I can play, you know, Brakos by Philip Berberin with the graveyard thing. Or I have a Bruna deck from Rope Arrow. I have his original sketch for it. It's a little tiny one.
Yeah.
And I want to make a Bruna deck.
I've got a Rope Arrow up here somewhere. I just can't turn it on.
Undefeated. So I want to have a few of those that you know, it's on my staircase, on my hang, it's all sketches. And I want to have those like original sketches that I can see. And I'm like, that's my commander. That's my commander. That's my commander. And then I own my commander and I build my deck, because I always fear that commander decks, I'm just going to like break apart over time. Like Ural the Miststalker. Like, yeah, it was good, I mean, like 1,000 years ago, but I don't own the original art for it because Jamie Jones didn't make any originals sketches. He's all digital. So I don't have as much affinity toward it.
I hear you.
Whereas Riss, I own the both Riss, right. Both Riss Elves by Steve Prescott,
right.
You know, the green white one and the green black one.
Right.
I have both of those original sketches and I have them framed up. Oh. And obviously the green white one is still playable. The green black one's kind of bad now.
It's okay. It's not amazing.
Bad. It's bad.
It's, I'll say Riss the Redeem was like one of the early into commanders. This was one of the cards that I was like, I really want it for a deck, but it's $20. You know, I remember thinking that before things were like, oh, I need to spend $90 on a dockside. But, you know, and now it's only $10 for a dockside. Tell you that.
Yeah, but like Riss the Redeemed, like, could you still build a deck of that?
Yeah, you can still do
that. You know, I mean, it's still like $7 for a commander. Can you still build a token reprints. Deck out of it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could totally make that.
And I'll tell you what, this it survived some reprints too. It's still like, it had a list reprint and people were like, wow, that's pretty big. And then the reprint and double masters, you're like, okay, it's got the updated legendary frame, and it's still the Steve Prescott art, which honestly, I don't want them touching it. I think it's so good.
So you're one of those that like, I don't want to touch it. I look at that and I counter with you, because I know like my boy Ryan Pankos, you know, Rhode Island, undefeated. He looks at some of his early artworks, mm-hmm. and he wants to redo them.
Okay, see, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, hear me out. I love giving, so like, just, we were talking about Black Lotus earlier. Christopher Rush also did another Black Lotus in what, like 2003? It's also gorgeous, but it's a completely different vibe. It's a completely different,
a
different Black Lotus, but they gave it back to Christopher Rush, which I really love.
Right.
So I'm saying, I want to see what Steve Prescott could do with Riss the Redeemed now. But I also would love it if that were like an extended border version of like just totally like right. how they had Richard Kane Ferguson doing Marchesa of Black Rose and Cedrus the Trader King in
you're exactly right. Yeah. So like someone like a Pankos, he did smallpox in his career.
Oh my
like,
god.
It's an okay art at the time, but now he's like, dude, I can paint that so much better now. I would love, and that card's worth, you know, nothing.
It's,
but he's like, I would love if I could do that again. Or like Treasure Mage or Plague Stinger or whatever those things need to be. Like earlier in his career, like he has that, or like Colony Garden, you know, the land.
Yes,
no one plant that, like, if you're playing a green deck, play that card. It's good.
It's a really
like,
good
he would love to revisit those and then say, all right, I'm going to do it as 10, 15 years later and I'm that much better and I will reference it. And then people have a choice. Which one do you want to play? The one that gives you nostalgia, or the one that is technically better art?
Yes.
And that's something art directors don't really think about, is
interesting.
Asking the previous person to say, hey, would you do this again? But, you know, make it in your current style. So it's a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
And I want that because I think that's a cool way.
I mean,
that allows people to still say, well, I still want the OG, but I want it better. And it gives them the two options.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say Pankos, I think you brought this up at the Chicago panel you moderated. What is it? There's an uncommon from Neon Dynasty. Discover the Impossible.
Discover the Impossible. It's in top 10.
One of the most striking pieces from the set. Yeah. And again, it speaks to your point of like, you know, your earlier frustration that you vocalized, people saying, oh, it's all the same, or that people aren't looking at the commons. People aren't looking at the uncommons. This is why I appreciated the art cards so much when they were doing more of a push for that. The thing is with the art cards, they're still just so small and
still tiny.
They're still tiny, but they're bigger than what the card gives you on it.
Yeah.
But it just is like a still too tiny, because I wanna put it up here. If I had
that's art what cards, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had bigger art cards, that'd be nice. I think playmats is great.
Yep.
They got to sell, otherwise artists won't make them. But they can make their own as part of the carve out of the contract.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a middle ground here, Mike. I think there's something with Magicon events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make their big oversized cards, you know, the big boys.
Yeah.
But then they make those like littler ones that are like, they can fit in a suitcase.
Oh, where?
And you know what? They haven't really investigated like what if we did the top 15, top 20 artworks of all time in middle cards?
Uh-huh.
And the scarcity of those would just be absurd. Like, you take make one of those a cartographer, people are going to fight for it. Like, they're
cartographer.
It's going to be stupid money. But Donato, I think those sort of options are like, how do we reinvent this idea? How do we keep getting the best cards of the future?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. You need to keep doing those. So give me the new legends. Because, sure. You know, getting your old legend in a card frame, like behind you in your Twitch stream, like, subscribe, sick. Don't get me wrong. But if you had some like OG bangers that are like, oh, you're going to get, you know, Discover the Impossible as one of these, or you're going to get a surgical extraction full art.
Ooh, without the text box on the surgical so you can get the whole frame.
Violent.
I love that. Was that your choice when you talked? Was it your at the?
I talked to Stevie B about it, but that was one of my choices.
Yes.
If you have. Because
you gave
that,
us the whole, you showed us the whole thing. Because the horizon point. It's so stunning in its full version that sometimes it does.
It's an incredible piece. You're like, haha, it's great artwork. And then you see the full thing. You're like, oh,
yeah,
this is so much better than I thought it was.
Gave me
you
goosebumps.
Make that a full art card with the like sliver moon.
Mm.
All of a sudden, a bunch of Muppets are all going to be buying like booster drafts, trying to get tickets and be like, I got to race to get this. And it's going to be a race against time.
Yeah, buddy.
And that's a story at a Magic Con of like people are racing.
Mm.
To get enough tickets to win the singular one, which doesn't, people try to get their uncut sheets, but it's not like, how do I get this as fast as I can?
Mm-hmm.
How do I pay off people to do this? I need to do a run on booster drafts.
Yeah, buddy.
To get this
you
done.
You got a table stuff. Yeah.
That's not happening. No. That's not happening. And I think that's an area that they can play with in the future of playfulness of there. And then that might inform be like, okay. Let's make that a bonus card for Secret Lair.
Tell you
and
what.
Like, okay.
Tell you what. Put it in. They when they package the Secret Lairs, they have that thank you card. That's like, it's just like, hey, thanks for getting a Secret Lair.
Yep.
They have one. Hey, what's hurting? Throw in another one. Throw in another one with some beautiful art. Give us
give me a little something. Give me a little something. The backside's blank anyway. Yeah. I think you're right. I just got my Captain America right now. A known associate hooked me up. Mm-hmm. I missed it. I was busy in a meeting. Known associate hooked me up with a non-foil version. Love that piece. Because obviously I got to play that thing. You know, Pentacost, Captain America, America. I'm into that.
Absolutely.
But I think some of those like optimizations, they're not hearing it. They're like, oh, that's neat. Ha ha. It's like, no. This is what we want. And we'll use this for whatever, and then we'll put that up behind us so people will see it on stream, they'll see it on the podcast, whatever, that it becomes a functional piece rather than just a piece of recycling. And then that becomes permanent.
I'll tell
promo
you what,
for whatever it needs.
Something I found in when, so speaking again of MagicCon Chicago last year, it was Murders at Karlov Manor just come out. They put pins through oversized versions of heavy cardstock of a legend from the set. And so I bought an Atrata. It wasn't expensive or nothing. And I thought, wow, that's neat. I get a pin and the card's huge. And I was thinking about building her as a commander. Never got around to making her as a commander. Ended up picking Lazav in the end. But it was so cool. I thought, man, this is making me want to get this kind of.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the time where it was, I guess, in 2011 or 2012 when they started, 2013 they started with the oversized commander
in the box.
In the box, they had all three. I remember when I got my Derevi deck, I had Derevi, Rubia, Soul Singer, and then God, I'm blanking on the name, but the blink rune,
the rhino.
Yeah, the rune of the Hidden Realm. That's the one. The blinking rhino.
I like that idea. Like when we think about like those organized play of like content creators at Magic Cons, I love the idea of one of them like swinging for the fences to be like, can you give me some oversized cards? Can we make oversized cards commanders? What can we do with some of those? Like, I don't know if it's a plane chase plane. I don't really care. But I think that's such like open-ended ability to make some just shenanigans.
Just give me,
and even it could be an like upcoming card. Like if it's a card from the next set,
yeah, buddy.
And you get a preview oversized.
Give me. I'll say. I remember. So they didn't stop doing this until like pretty recently. I'll say. I think it was like a 2020 or something that they dropped it. But in the 2019 Commander decks, I have a Savine the Chronoclasm deck that is just Brash Taunters all the way down. It's Brash Taunters. It's, you know, Stuffy Dolls. It's clones of, you know, and then I just deal damage to everything. But Savine had an oversized commander card. And I got that. And I'm like, well, this is a great reason to keep this as the commander for this idea of a deck I have.
Sure.
You know? And so that's what I use when I'm playing. I have the oversized card in an oversized top loader. And I just think it's so much more fun to pull that out than to be like, hey, here's a... I put in a different sleeve to the rest of the deck. It's like, no. When I put my Swiftfoot boots on my commander, it's going to look stupid and we're all going to have a laugh. Isn't that fun?
I love that, actually. Yeah,
it's a good time.
My main commander deck is a Malira deck, and I've got one of those like 3Ds. I got a 3D collage, and it was made by Altered City, Drew City, and Klug Alters. And the two of them made me one of them, and it's in like a big lucite. It's like really thick. And that's my commander when I play Malira on my commander deck. It's the one I play the most. And then that just sits on like...
Are we talking OG Malira? We have to be talking about OG Malira. Yeah.
OG Malira. It's a combo deck.
Oh my God.
I'm mono green, baby. Listen, I'm going to play that Team Life all day.
I got to understand what this combo deck's like.
So the combo deck, you know, we can't give away too much because, you know, I like to surprise people.
Keep people on their toes.
But Malira, 2-drop, doesn't allow you to have -1/-1 counters. Because you can't get effect, right? Because that's the whole story behind it, is she can't be infected.
You can't get poison counters. Creatures you control can't have -1/-1 counters.
Correct.
And creatures your opponents control lose infect.
Correct. So, seems fine. What if you play persist creatures? What happens?
Oh, shut up.
What if you play persist creatures? What happens?
Wow, they keep coming back.
What if you play, you know, the redhead girl with her, you know, monster friend, Woodfall Primus? What if he comes into play? What if you sacrifice him? What if you sacrifice him again? What if you sacrifice him again? What happens?
Oh, no.
So Woodfall Primus, obviously, it's a persist creature. Comes into play, destroys a non-creature permanent. And you can blow up a lot of lands.
Uh-huh.
You can blow up a lot of everything.
You can ruin...
And there's infinite combos. Uh-huh. I play Hurricane in it, kill everybody at the same time. A variety of different ways to interact with the persist trigger on the stack, and you know, it's just a you know, little girl with her monster friends, and you know, no big deal.
That's fun.
But it surprises people because they're like, it seems bad and slow, and you're like, it is bad and slow,
but
it's predictable. It's the combo deck that has a clock.
Sure.
If you ignore this too long, it will kill you.
That's fair.
But it guarantees a game ends. I used to play Ural, but people didn't like that because they didn't like how the game ended.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a Malira, when they get killed with it, they're like, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's
like,
great. That's great.
It's more like you flip this commander and people go, I can't believe you're playing this. What could this possibly be? This is a commander who on EDH rec has 212 decks to her name. That's low.
It's low.
That's a low amount.
It's not so good.
But
in a specific congo, I'm playing that Kyle Carson life, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, you find the line, you find the weird combo, and people are like, what are you doing? How is this?
I hear you.
What is this work?
And you're talking about sacrificing stuff and bringing it back. That could not be more up my alley.
It's flavor. That's literally best part's the taste.
My favorite.
So the one I play the most. And obviously I have a variety of other ones, but that's the one I usually throw out when I don't know the power level of people. Like obviously I have CDADH and they know what they are, but that one can usually scale itself up quick or slow depending on the play group.
Nice.
And a little bit of flavor is ideal. Obviously, it's all digital. I really wish that was a traditional artwork, and that's the one I yell at art directors and be like, reprint this with new art, make it a painting, dang it. but they haven't done it yet. But one day that'll be it. Because otherwise, I have like, you know, the main Kithkin, got him hanging out. I haven't made a deck out of him yet. But the wrist ones, it feels really good to see your commander and be like, dude, I'm working on this deck. And then you see it every day and you're like, I'm going to make some updates to that. Do I got the right art for doubling season? Like, what am I doing?
I've got the Shilgengar up there. Jack Hughes did the profile art of Shilgengar.
Yep.
Which is the moment Sire of Famine was spoiled. My friends were like, you saw this, right? And I was like, yeah, I saw that. Are you kidding me? What do you think this is?
What are we doing?
Immediately started brewing it. Couldn't help myself.
Amazing.
And then the moment I saw that Jack Hughes was getting the profile art, I was like, this guy never fails. Even when he's getting backlash, like on this Where is she? Silvala with the.
He doesn't miss.
It's incredible. The pink background on the. It's just the perfect amount. It works so well. I don't understand how people see that reflector mage and go, this isn't for me. It's incredible. His Azami, if looks can kill secret lair drop, is one of the most beautiful secret lairs. And at the time, I just the shipping was horrendous to Canada, and it made it impossible to buy. And then you try to find it somewhere, forget it. No one's got it. So I just got all the playmats instead. The only one I'm missing is the adaptive automaton. And if anybody's got a line on that, I'll get it.
Honestly, you just need to find like known associates in the USA that are always willing to help you out.
The arbitrage stuff, that's for sure.
They're like, listen, whenever there's a thing, I got you.
I appreciate that. I look, when it comes to like I you see the playmats behind me. Yeah, I got the clearly so Elish Norn is on here because it's like one of the first mythics I ever opened. Nykthos is my favorite land, and this version by Alana Donner has so many Easter eggs, or it just all these references and literal placements of the gods of Theros, one of my favorite planes. Jack uses Liliana of the Dark Realms, and then all the profile arts for Modern Horizons 2 and 3. Yeah, I just really love the art in this game, and it brought us in to the game. Let's be real. You're like, I'm not a fantasy guy. I'm not somebody who goes off and reads fantasy books. But then I am somebody who saw Thorn Elemental and thought, now what the f*** is this guy's deal? Sorry, Ken.
Let's go. So that was your guy. Thorn Elemental brought you in. Randy Post, RK Post himself.
Yeah, RK Post himself, the old Thorn Elemental from 7th edition is what I ended up getting. But my cousin had the OG from, the Destiny, I want to say. I remember seeing Destiny.
The OG Thorn Elemental?
Yeah, the OG Thorn Elemental from Urza's Destiny is the one my cousin had. And then I was like, oh, okay, I want to get into this game now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's just great.
Oh, for sure.
Integrate. I mean,
well,
this is Go Jam. Obviously, we're talking about Urza's Destiny. It's great. I mean, I love that 7th edition foil, though. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, but that's because it was everywhere. I couldn't get over it. Looked like a creepy smile. Mm-hmm. Looked like Scarecrow from Batman. That's what I liked about that one. But this what I really took from the original Thorn Elemental from Destiny is that the scale. I never quite considered like, oh, what's why are there little birds there? Mm. Like, it looks huge. Don't you understand that that's why he looks so huge? And I'm over here, I'm like 8 years old thinking, man, this is crazy. My eyes are doing stuff. You know, I just.
Scale birds. The scale birds got you, man.
Yeah, well, the scale birds and then later on the scale dragons in the case of the Ur Dragon.
Yo, right? Right? For real. You're like, oh, biscuits, that thing's big.
It's massive.
I like that. I like that a lot. That was your OG. Okay, that's good to know. That's your origin. Eventually you're going to need to get like a Thorn Elemental like t-shirt where they have it through Brain Dead or whatever.
Somebody's got it. I don't know. So Thorn Elemental, again, RK Post is seminal to me in the way that like, it wasn't just Thorn Elemental, but then there was that Desolation Angel, I want to say, was also
that's
him.
That's like top 50.
Wait a second. Am I thinking of the right one?
No, you think Desolation Angel was black with the kicker that destroys lands. And the black.
No, that was Braum. Why am I thinking? Oh, Avatar of Woe. I'm an idiot.
Oh, the Avatar of Woe.
It's Avatar of Woe. Yeah. Desolation Angel is a top 51. That was Braum, though. Yeah. The Avatar of Woe is one that when I was younger, was like, this thing is creepy. It's cool.
Yeah, that was actually nominated for Art Award, too. That was in Spectrum way back in the day. And Eve did the DCI promo of it, too. It was so good.
Yep. That was nuts. I remember thinking, I'm never going to get my hands on this one.
Yeah, now it's like a couple bucks, like whatever. Because great gear.
It's still fetching 50. It's still showing up as 50.
The Pro Tour promo?
What I see. Yeah. And I don't mind that. 50 is way more approachable than what I thought it was when I was
younger. Well, yeah, because they reprinted it in Graveborn. Graveborn made a lot.
Exactly. Graveborn did make a lot.
But that just feels right. Like that customization of like, can you fit that into a deck in a commander of today? You probably can.
I can.
You probably can.
I can.
10 or more creature cards in all graveyards? That's not that many. Like, you can get that out as a 2-drop.
I play Avatar of Woe in two of my decks.
Oh, for real?
I've got it in my Rakdos the Muscle deck right now, which is focused on playing big guys that have a cost reduction stuff going on.
Like, get them. Yeah. Turns out a two drop, 6/5 seems okay.
Yeah. A 2-drop 6/5 that has evasion, but really is there to friggin' machine gun down some creatures.
Seems okay.
Seems pretty good. Seems pretty good, I think.
It's phenomenal. If I have to use a word, I'd say. Like, that's one of the ones I want to like revisit when they have all these different like borders and treatments and whatever. Like, just give me one that's like full art, you know, where it has like expanded border or something. You just need to make one of them. And then that becomes like, okay, that's the one. Out of all the different borders, you have one that's like extended, or you have like a classic border of it, because they have it of the original one, right? But there are some ways that can do that. And I love the idea of having like the same art but a different border, so it makes the original more expensive, and it keeps like the hype one like not as approachable, but it shouldn't be. It should be like crazy, like the Japanese version of the extended art is like $200 or something ridiculous.
It is fun to consider that, like, because there's an element of what is attractive about these printings and about these cards is their, like, not necessarily their scarcity, but the, like, the legend of it being, like, for instance, the Avatar of Woe Pro Tour. This was, like, 2009, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't even around for it. I came back to the game and then was like, I remember Avatar of Woe. Is that still around? And then saw this version. I was like, I'm losing my mind. What is this? Oh, I can't spend that. There's no way. Not right now. But there's this, like, there because of the inaccessibility at the time, I had a moment of, like, this is going to stick with me, you know? Whereas now, like, yes, Avatar of Woe has been reprinted several times.
Sure.
Like, you know, Conspiracy, Archenemy, you know, you could even get a regular Prophecy one for under $10.
Right.
But that said, like, it to me, it carries this weight. To others, it might not.
It's a nostalgia.
And that's the beauty.
The nostalgia of it. Like, I play Night Soil in almost every green deck I play. Is that card good?
Really?
Technically, no. Card's not great. But being able to exile any creatures, because mind you can do this at instant speed. If someone has a persist creature, it hits the graveyard, and you can exile it before the persist trigger, which is amazing. And it costs nothing. It costs nothing. But it's so sneaky powerful.
It costs one mana. It's good.
A mana.
The thing is,
and like, you're not going to use a disenchant on it because you're like, it's not that strong. Like, it's not omniscience.
It does.
I'm not going to blow it up. But like,
no,
this wins you games because all of a sudden you Alpha Strike, you have an overrun effect, and all of a sudden you just blow somebody out, or you always have a creature available for a mana. That's silly.
I loved when they did a callback to Night Soil in Necrogenesis. What a card. What a fun card to exist.
It's a quarter. Card's a quarter. Maybe 10 cents.
And frankly, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. The card's not good. Then you realize, like, actually, in the right deck, it's very good. It's very,
pretty
very
nuts.
Good.
But then there's also stuff like, what is it? Wood Elemental that people think of, and they're like, that's a... I guess that must be reserve list.
That's one of the worst cards of all time. I mean, like, it's one of the worst cards of all time because it doesn't do anything.
Period.
Like, the cost to play it is so high.
It makes you sacrifice your untapped forest.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's a reserve list. Like, that's a rare. Yeah. Like, that's really the reason it's worth anything. But the card is so bad.
It's doggy doo doo. It should be able to be reprinted, but I think part of it is like, the art's so goofy. It's got no real implications in current day Magic. It's fair to not want to reprint this, but it is very funny to try to be like, I'm one of those guys who has an edge case for this card.
Yeah.
And now it has a home.
Yeah.
And that's always a little tempting.
You want to be that, like, sicko that finds the line. Like,
finds
you
the
a 25
line.
Cent
that's
card,
what you want.
And I made a whole deck.
Yes.
And it's oddly very good. It's like when people use like Devotion would be a great example, like a Rushwood Elemental or whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, 5-drop? That seems terrible. It's like, yeah, but the Devotion goes live, and then you get stomped because of it, and the card costs nothing. It's like a dollar. But that type of innovation in Commander is I'm all about, because I want that.
I'll say this, as someone, because this is... The day that Dockside Extortionist got banned, Alan Mental Misplay posted an interview with me that we got at Commander Sealed this summer, this fall. And it just coincided with the fact that, like, my take was ban Dockside. I don't need it, right?
Okay.
Ban. I hate sitting across the table from people and knowing exactly every card. I need to see an ice cauldron across from me and go, wait, what is this? Or like a Muse Vessel. Give me a reason to play Muse Vessel from Ravnica. And so, and here's the thing. I found the deck for both of them and I play them both. It's the Rasslin, the War President, the Doctor Who Dimir Commander, who exiles your top card from upkeep and makes your exiled cards get conspire, you know? So that's just, you find the spots for these cards and that's what's magical. Pardon the, you know, it's a beautiful part of the game. It's kind of like the game itself feels more like it's a moving puzzle that you're trying to solve to take the victory, right?
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
I just want to have those that it's not just like you're the top 10 cards that you should play.
Agreed.
I don't like any part. Like, I understand the need for it. It's for newer.
There's
players.
An optimization thing. It does help with people who want to do that. That's fair. But tell me that there isn't a puzzle building aspect to deck building that isn't just optimizing a deck, but that is also finding a spot for this thing that you've had, like that you just happen to feel an affinity for. Like, if you're talking about like a beautiful piece, one that had many people talking, Storm the Seed Core. You remember this?
Jason Rainville.
Of course you do.
Rainville, of course.
Jason.
That was the best art last year. I put it in my 2023 art review.
Yes. One of the most beautiful cards you'll ever see.
Mm.
It's a gorgeous painting. The reaction to it online was incredible.
Mm.
And then you look at the card and you're like, okay.
Yeah, that card's fine.
It's a draft. It's a limited card for sure.
Yeah, it's very good limited.
But you're telling me it's at the back of my mind though.
Right.
Because I keep thinking about how beautiful this card is.
Yeah.
And it goes against every way I play Magic. I don't play this kind of deck.
Yeah.
It's not my kind of thing. But
yeah,
when I start drafting a list online that happens to coincide with some of these themes,
you know,
this is my overrun.
It works. It works then. No, and I like having those things that are surprises rather than like, this is a totally unplayable common or totally unplayable uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives me nuts because then I need to do like Magic Con like panels to be like, no, actually, mm-hmm. Mardu Heartpiercer is one of the best artworks of all time. And they're like, the what? I'm like, with the horse? And I'm like, yeah, it actually is really good. Like, I hate that. I hate that to pieces, that you need to have a better card for people to notice that the art is good. And that drives me nuts because there's it's not a meritocracy, right? Like, some artists get the better cards and there's reasons behind that. I don't need to get into that. But there's phenomenal people making great artworks that get no respect. And that drives me utterly nuts. And I hate that to pieces. They'll be like, no, they're making great works. John Stanko is an incredible digital artist. But like, ain't nobody talking about John Stanko. It's like, oh, he didn't make Nykthos. So you don't talk about it. But is his art phenomenal? Yeah. All of his hyper realism with Innistrad farmers and like angry like people on the ground is so good. But the cards aren't good.
What's a Stanko or what's one of his that you think of right away when you think
like
of?
When I think of Stanko, I think of immediate like Innistrad bumpkins that are just fighting back. So one example would be like his human token is really good. Feeling of Dread, which is played a little bit limited, just hyper real. Very clear.
Oh yeah, I just pulled up Feeling of Dread, and it's
so obvious what he's trying to do, but it's not get any credit for it. Like the town gossip monger, like he did. It's a bunch of people. It's just like, ha ha, just random humans, and they're yapping. And then the next piece is a bunch of them angry. But you don't think of like Stranglehold's art. You think, oh yeah, the card's good. You can't search hard. It's early Commando staple. It's like, yeah, but have you actually looked at the art and seen the struggle in the hand and the grip of the knuckles?
Yes.
That's so good. But you're like, oh, yeah, that's a card that used to be good.
Stranglehold is one of those cards that definitely has stuck with me for the art. But I not the type of card that I would play. I think Obsessive Skinner is also one of his. Yes, it is. That one up close is gorgeous. He's also behind Ophiomancer, like original. Yeah.
He didn't get the snake token, which, you know, he kind of did, but kind of did.
I mean,
it's fine. We'll argue later. Right. But, like, I look at his Strength of Arms, and I think that's one of the best artworks of Thalia ever, where he used the hair of Thalia to show the story of becoming stronger. Or, like, his Containment Priest. It's very simple. It's really quiet. Like,
the Containment Priest is beautiful.
He had these works that he's not getting respect of that. And he's a phenomenal, phenomenal artist. And I really wish he would get more props by people. But, you know, did he do a Sol Ring? Sure. But he did it so late when we started making 1,000 Sol Rings. It's like, whatever. You know, think about it or notice it.
You know what? This is a fun exercise. This is a very fun exercise. Because I did look up Stanko and Scryfall. And I'm looking up. Guy's got hits, and it's not just stuff that, like, you know, oh, from one period of time or whatever, it all looks kind of the same. He has a definite style, but then you've got stuff like, you know, he did Dr. Madison Lee's whatever it's called treatment, the Pip-Boy treatment. He did Drown in the Lock, which is haunting, by the way.
Yeah, dude.
All the way down to something like Firebrand Archer. Nobody's really looking at that card's art up close, but the whole deal, it's just the positioning, the story of it, the background is collapsing. It's all pretty nuts, dude. Sorry, Ken.
Hey,
it is a
boy.
Beautiful thing.
No, like it's people like our that. Boy. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Ryan Pankos, that's my boy. Chris Wrong.
Come
phenomenal
up a lot.
Artist. Period.
Lots of people to shout out.
Just undefeated in their own right. It's these people that are making really great art that are not getting the respect that drives me nuts. Because I'm like, this guy teaches. He teaches students. He's in Florida, teaches students on art. And he's making this phenomenal art. And you know what? When was the last time he interviewed? Ages ago.
Amen.
Ages ago. See, and then you look through his thing and like, dude, he's got 99 magic cards. And you're like, homie's good. Like, what are we doing? Like, these different styles. Let's call him up and say, like, hey, man, how do you do this? Well, you're not going to Magic Cons. You're not signing my tokens. You're not liking or subscribing. And you're definitely not smashing that bell. You're just busy doing your own thing. I think of Keikai Kotaki is the other one. He did all that ink stuff recently, you know, with Skitherix and whatever. And Keikai does a variety of stuff. Keikai doesn't go to events. It's not his thing. He's like, I'll sign things through the mail, but I don't do in-person events. But Keikai is phenomenal. And those are the cats that I want to hear from that are like, you know, I'm not a big name. And you're like, dude, you're so good. And I'm geeking out about you with known associates to be like, how in the F did you think of that?
Yeah.
And that's the type of jam when I get like, am I the bad guy for not like kissing the ring, whatever? Like, no, like, Kid Guy's my boy. Like, his art is so good. You guys are sleeping on this. Because you're not
opening
booster packs anymore. You're not looking through every card anymore to look
at every.
Let me
hit you with this. You're going to love this. Speaking of Keikai, because you mentioned his ink, his line art stuff.
They're stupid good.
Sinew Dancer was one of the first of those treatments I opened
at
An All Will Be One. And my God, is it striking. Just it's so, it's haunting. I love horror movies, so like any set that leans hard into the body horror, any set that leans hard into like the nightmare imagery and stuff, I'm interested in. And Kotaki nailed this.
Like,
this is Sinew Dancer is it looks like God, it looks like the void and like it's coming for you.
With
it's
the
like
black
you've been messing around.
The full art and
yes.
The art card. Wild flavors. Like,
it
I
looks
look
like
at
it's ripping through a different universe. It's incredible.
It's not like, and he has that ability, like to even have that good silhouettes of like you know you blur your eyes a little bit and it still reads. Like, I look at his Champion of the Perished, and there's a buy box promo by Dark and IE Mike Lim, delightful fellow. But I look at that Champion of the Perished, black and white, double feature, That is the hottest thing. And why it's so cheap, I do not understand. Because that should be a bajillion dollars.
Buddy, the double feature, we could talk all day about the missteps.
Listen, I'm gonna invoke my boy Jay. Like, I think it's the most dripped out set that everybody's sleeping on. Like that Alchemist Refuge, all the CEDH cards. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, this is it.
I can't disagree with you. I love the way they look in black and white when they're consciously made for it. There are some of these black and white paintings that were not made for the black and white, and it kind of does them dirty. Mm. You know, you can kind of tell which of the artists got a heads up about the grayscale of it all.
I would agree to that. You know, some that just have like high contrast that like shine, and then you get that double feature foil, like that hollowed haunting. You know, that four drop enchantment makes more clerics or whatever. You play that in like an aura deck, enchantment deck, and that thing in foil. Oh my god! Like we're sleeping on this. This should be a bajillion dollars.
I picked one up of the color one, and then I saw the double feature one, and I immediately put it in order. Yeah. I was like, this is one of the Chase Mythics of the set, and I'm already like buying two copies because this one.
Yeah, there's only a few that don't work. Like Endless Ranks of the Dead because it has a stained glass window. It doesn't really work in black and white because you need a stained glass window, right? Like that, that just won't work, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I like this idea of having this like quieted down palette. I would love a set if it had like everything in like a red glow or like a blue glow. Like that's interesting because that calls back like Torment, where everything was black.
See, I was just about to say, Torment is an all-timer for me because it is such a huge swing.
Yeah.
And it's first my favorite color in Magic is obviously it's black. Let's go. People who know me, they know that for sure.
Let's go.
No question. But Torment was one of those sets that I look back on and I think they really tried hard to do this crazy thing.
Yeah.
It's all about black. Every card, or at least 90% of the cards, refer to a black creature, protection from black. It becomes black. The you know, black mechanics or enabling black mechanics.
Yeah.
And I think it's so fascinating, and I wonder what that would look like in other colors.
Yeah, the design space is interesting. And I like seeing of, you know, the Force of Will. It's a red artwork on a blue card, right? Because it got changed or whatever. I like seeing some of those things to see how could you flip that on its head. It's like Cabal Ritual, the early OG one. It has the purples, right? And now we're so used to purple and black, Liliana, whatever. There's purples all the time. But back then, that was like a crazy flavor. And it's like, whoa, it was striking. What are you doing
there? But they did that all over the set. They had the Mesmeric Fiend and the Last Laugh. Yep. Really leaned into the purples. I remember that. This was a big set for me.
It was a great art set. And obviously, it was printed in low res, which is the unfortunate part. But it has, you know, some of the top artworks of all time. Aven Trooper is literally in the top 10 for many people's lists because it was so quiet. It's the Japan flag quieted down. And like artworks like that are more conceptual, is people what would call them. But it's really just taking, okay, I want to isolate this character. You don't need a scene anymore. Just make the character background, location, do whatever you want. Back then, they just didn't tell you what that was. Now, they have to be intentional about it. Otherwise, people will place it in the setting because it's a style guide. And that's the big difference now is you have to tell people, here's the setting if you want. If you want to do something different in the background, go ahead.
I'll say, so to speak to your earlier point about people not looking at the commons and uncommons, again, it's something we've come back to a couple times over the course of the conversation. I remember, I loved just buying packs back when I was a kid because I wasn't playing much. I was playing a bit, but I was always like, I just want to see the new stuff. So I'd get a booster whenever I could afford one, and I thought, this is going to be cool. I'm going to really savor this. And I remember opening a booster of Torment and getting a Gloom Drifter, which is, man, what a card that is not worth playing. Gloom Drifter is a 2/2 minion for 3 and a black with flying. So on rate, you're getting a 2/2 flyer for 4, and then it has threshold and says whenever when it comes into play, if you have threshold, non-black creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. So it's like this mini board wipe kinda. If you get there, but it's still just a 2-2 flyer for four. And it can possibly in the late game become like a board wipe, but that's like limited and you don't really see much use for it. But I remember looking at this thing and going, wow, what a strange looking card. Cause it felt like this was the closest they got to being like the Sandman putting people to sleep.
It looked
like this thing was like coursing through the air and turning everything into nighttime. Sure. It's sleepy time for everybody. You got that one guy in the top left looking like he's taking a nap in an alternate dimension, and these other two that are falling over themselves trying
Adam
to get
Rex,
to sleep
right?
in the sky.
I think it is that artist.
Adam Rex.
It seems like it's an Adam Rex.
It's an Adam Rex. And it was so striking as a kid. I'd look at the rest of the pack, and I think I even opened one of the Chase. I think it was like Icarid, which was a big deal at the time.
Yeah,
so I had an Icarid in the pack, and I was like, this thing's disgusting and so weird, I can't really get a handle on it. But this Gloomdrifter, there's just something so beautiful about it. And I do miss the days of just like not having the cards in front of you right away. And unfortunately, you know, part of the job is knowing what's coming. Part of the job is writing the articles and stuff and having them previewed over time so you can have an informed opinion and stuff. But man, I do miss the days of just being like, hey, this set just dropped. Okay, I know a couple of the key things, but I'm going to go in and open these packs. And what the hell is Grave Gouger? That thing looks disgusting.
I'm sure there's going to be coming back to that. I'm sure there's a plan for a secret set, a fully unknown.
Another unknown.
Like, I'm sure it's coming. Obviously, it's tough to do it at a large scale release, like a main expansion set. But you could do it with one of the smaller ones. You could do it with a secret lair. Not a secret lair, but you could do it like a Universes Beyond. You could do things like that of the sorts, or even a master set out of left field. And I think it's on the shelf, right? The secret lair Peppa Pig. Like, Peppa Pig's on the shelf. I'm sorry, but like, everybody knows about Peppa Pig. Like, it's on the shelf. When they need it, they can use it. I think that totally unknown set drop, you don't get to know anything beforehand, I think is there.
Nothing.
And
that's fun.
When they need it, they'll deploy it. And I and me being an art guy, I want to know about the art beforehand, but they're going to hide it. And not having art previewed is the number one thing they have to hide. Because if you preview art, people can start to understand mechanics about what the art looks like, because there's rules and this flying creature and this is first strike or whatever. But I think that will be in our future in the next 5 years, is they'll sneak one in and you'll see it. You'll be like, why did this happen? Or they'll make an announcement to say this was skipped and then one got released or something at an event.
I think they tried to do that with like the list.
A little bit.
But then they just ended up spoiling it at like really early on with Rafik getting the new Capenna border just on the list.
Yeah.
And that was like a fun little thing that they were doing. But then it was like, well, we're just going to tell you the day before it comes out or something that this is also available. That would have been cool to just happen a spot in the pack. But again, I think this is just making me want to go just get packs of old stuff.
I think in my world, I just want to search through some bulk and just find some artworks that make me feel something.
That's part of the fun about going through my collection. And, you know, I told you earlier, I'm going through my collection to sell it and stuff. Part of the fun is finding all these commons and uncommons and being like, did I open this, or was this something I just thought, I think this is nice? And then I look at it again and I go, I think this is nice.
I think so.
I just leave it behind.
You find a deck for it eventually, put it in the stack of maybes, put it on your pile.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's what artists do for us, is it puts you in the maybe pile, and then you revisit that.
It's fun to be in the maybe pile. I don't mind it at all.
That's a quote of the day. It's fun to be in the maybe pile.
Fun to be in the maybe pile. Yeah. Yeah. That's the fun part. I have this deck box on my desk where I just started putting some cards in it thinking, I'll get to these. I'll see what's up. It's nice.
It's in the maybe
pile. It's a beautiful part of the hobby, you know, to be able to interact with something. Like, again, this is a fact that I know you told Dan Sheehan, and you brought this up, I think, on his podcast, and he told you. But he got the fact from you, which is, after, what is it, the Vatican or the Catholic Church, Magic the Gathering commissions the most original art.
Yeah.
Period. In the world.
Yeah. It's hard to believe. And then you start counting them and you're like, oh, that is, Because the biggest thing is commission, right? Like an individual artist can make their own amounts, but it's hard to do that scale for that many years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's fully a full finished painting, not like a sketch, not like an idea, like a full creation again and again and again and again. And I've said that for a number of years, and people struggle to wrap their mind around it. And I'm like, the scale, it's so huge. If you think about, it's not all just the English ones, it's all the foreign in the non-English languages too. How much impact that has worldwide every year after year after year that we just start to forget about, and we're like, oh, I missed that comment, that life gain, uncommon, whatever. But every artist is making a thing. And not all of them are getting interviewed. John Stinkle, your boy, hanging out in Florida, not getting a call. But he's just out there hustling, making cool stuff week in, week out, and hoping
Stanko's got Zoom.
Dude, Stanko's got Zoom. He'll call him up. He's a delightful character. He's very nice, but no one ever calls him. So, you know, they have tons of those artists and new ones all the time that we really don't give credit to. And I think we need more people talking to some of those artists to get some of those stories out and document it out. Obviously, some of the older ones we need to get to before we can't.
We did lose a few.
We have lost a few, and there will only be more in the future where that becomes part of it. We need to document as fast as we can. But I think there's a lot of those like newer folks that have like 100 cards, 200 cards that they just need to get content out about them that we can just enjoy and celebrate and laugh about stuff that they chose for some weird little guy they made in there that becomes a fibble flip with Dave Palumbo to, you know, whatever those need to be, you know?
Yeah. That's a fun thought to end on, I think, is think about your bulk. Go through it. Look at some stuff and see what worlds
don't
are in
look
there.
For the rares. Don't look for the rarity of your bulk. Do it. Search from the other side and just look at the art pieces with the first part of the name. That's a good idea.
Yeah, keep your finger
like
on the
like
on the set symbol. Keep your finger on the set symbol. Keep that hidden.
Dude,
see what you don't recognize.
The Canadians got it going on, Mike. I like that. Like
what
don't
can I say?
Show me hide the rarities. Just sort through the bulk.
Just get it. Vorthos, Mike, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in. I have no idea how we're gonna do this on the bookends. Maybe we release this as a standalone. About art. We'll see.
I'm not sure, but you know, people will find me. I show up to Magic Cons. I do art things every now and then. I'm working on something pretty big in 2025.
Give them the handles.
Y'all will see if you get out and about here on the internet. You'll see what I'm working on.
Tell them where to follow you. Where do you want them to check you out?
Obviously, you got to find me at Vorthos Mike. On Blue Sky is where I'm at the most. Obviously, I have a Twitter still that's slowly dying. I've got an Instagram feed where I post my art auctions called MDBD Art, which you can see. It's fine. The Blue Sky is where I'm spending most of my locations out these days. I'm working on a podcast idea. I'm not just all about like two guys yelling in a basement. Like I need some strategic things worked out. So I'm working with some known associates to suss it out, do some strategic planning. What do we want to accomplish? Who's not covered? Is John Stanko interviewed? You know, feel me? Things like that.
Yes.
And then go from there to see this is
maybe
legs,
a little
this is not.
A little teaser of what our last little bit of the conversation was.
Then there might be a
by
little
by the time this
though.
Comes out, maybe the project will be announced or even out, maybe.
Yeah,
we do have a hefty backlog.
I mean, if there
we'll see.
We'll add a link to it in the comments section.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We'll keep people posted.
I'm into that,
Mike. This was a delightful chat. I can't wait to see you again at one of these cons and talk art up close and personal. I'll tell you what. I'd love to see one of these art shows.
You will.
I can't wait.
You will see one, no question about it. And you'll probably play cube with me. But if you pass me a pack rat, I'm going to stomp you with it in cube. Real talk.
Are you kidding me? I'm not passing a pack rat. Get out of here. What does a pack have to look like for me to let go of a pack rat?
That's what I'm
saying. I
don't
even know.
It's been done. It's been done, my guy. I've seen it done.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, that's the end of the chat. Let's find out what we got to find out on the other end.
Okay.
We'll be back on the other side. Thanks again, Vorthos Mike, at Vorthos Mike, everywhere you can find your favorite content creators. Check him out. Thank you so much, Vorthos Mike, for giving us a call, having a chat with me about the Art of Magic the Gathering. There is no bolus here. I don't know how we can talk about this like there's at all a question about whether or not you're the villain or whether or not your pet peeve is villainous. But make sure to follow Vorthos Mike. Check out all he's got going on. Again, you know, I said all this stuff earlier. I don't have much else to add. Cardsphere.com referral link in the show notes. You can find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on all platforms, essentially. You can follow us at MITheBolus at, not Instagram, but Blue Sky, rather, and not Twitter. We've abandoned Twitter on that front. And then, of course, check out my column, MITheBolus, at EDHREC.com. We still have a few on, we have the backlog, the rest of them on CommandersHerald.com. So go check those out, but make sure to keep supporting CommandersHerald.com. I'm still going to be writing for them, albeit in more of a satirical position, or rather more likely punching up some work on the site. And I'm really excited about the lean into this direction as well. But man, how exciting is it that I'm also an EDH rec writer? Can't believe it. Look at me go. Pretty friggin' stoked. Happy day. And also, you know, also happy day about Commander's Herald doing a new thing. So yeah, that's right. Check us out. Am I the Bullcast, baby? Tell your friends if you like it. And I hope you enjoyed this chat. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you liked this episode about appreciating the art of magic cards. I feel like Rhystic Studies would be proud. So, yeah, get into your bulk, guys. Go nuts. Pull out some commons and uncommons and go exploring. If you've got some stuff from, like, Torment era, really get into it. I love... Man, if there's ever a time that's going to convince me to start collecting an entire set to put in a binder and just have... Yeah, it might be now. We'll see. Maybe I've already got a bunch of them. All right, I'm going to do some more digging. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night. Or bye. It's not nighttime, necessarily. It's daytime. We're going to scoot the day. The day's been scooted. And then the music goes here. That's good music.